What's going on, everybody? It's Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Plenty of things to talk about. Haven't been here in about a month. I know it was a lot of things from all over, but you know, let me dive into it. Let me get right to the meat and potatoes of everything in the sports world. Let me give you my take on certain things, and let's get after it. You know, so we'll start with the NBA. The NBA season schedule was released yesterday. So you know, it's different now. They made a few changes to it. You know, so we got fewer late national doubleheader windows now. The second game will begin at 10:30 as opposed to later. You know, so this thing is happening now. We're trying to get I'm not part of the NBA, but they're trying to get more viewers in. You know, they were down 5% from the previous games last season on ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV. So this is an effort to make sure the West Coast audience gets their games on time and make sure that the East Coast fans don't fall asleep on their game. So it's gonna be interesting, to say the least. You know, national televised games for the upcoming season that start late at the 10:30 slot decreased from 56 last year to 33 for this season. So the games featuring LeBron, AD, the new look Clippers, you know, Kawhi, you know, Paul George and things like that, you know, they're gonna be starting at 10 or 9:30 in order to attract more eyeballs, obviously. You know, you don't wanna lose out on those fans, because obviously on the East Coast, we're knocked out sometimes after a long day of work. So that's going to be happening. But it's going to be a crazy, crazy, crazy schedule. You know, they released everything. The Warriors, for example, they play it's a tad bit different. Let me go back really quick to schedule. The Warriors, they just going to play 11 times on national TV, down from 18 last year. And Lakers have played, they'll play 10 games at that 10:30 time slot. You know, so it's going to be a little crazy. Things going to be all over the place, but the NBA is definitely trying to appease the fans. We got some big matchups in November. You know, Kawhi is going to get booed when he goes to Toronto because they're going to feel betrayed. But at the end of the day, they really can't get mad at him because he's definitely going back. He delivered. He didn't want to be there. It is what it is. You know, they got a ring. He's coming to get his ring. He'll be back then November 11th. So that should be interesting. Kemba should get a hero's welcome when he goes back to Charlotte November 7th. You know, Mike Conley should get a hero's welcome when he's back in Memphis November 15th. I expect Anthony Davis to get booed when he's back in New Orleans November 27th, especially if they're playing bad. Now, if they start the season off well, we won't have to worry about that. But if they're terrible, they're going to boo the hell out of them. And Kyrie Irving, you're going to have to use some earplugs for that game in Boston. They play the same day, November 27th, but he's in Boston with the Nets, and that's going to be crazy because he's going to get booed. He's going to get every boo you could possibly think of, he's going to get, because they're going to feel betrayed. So that's going to be interesting to see. You know, you got a Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. They got 20 games on national TV, so it goes to show that kid is must-see TV and, you know, instant star power. That's going to be incredible. So, the schedule's out. It's going. It looks good. I mean, you know, NBA key tip-off, they've had everything up. They put everything up. If you give me a quick second, I can pull that schedule up, and I can kind of see what else we're working with as far as the NBA, as far as open tonight as well. On October 22nd, we got a huge tip-off. That night is going to be a huge game. You got New Orleans and Toronto. You got the Clippers and the Lakers. That should be amazing. That Wednesday, the 23rd, you got Boston and Philly. You got Denver and Portland. Then you can go over to that Thursday. You got Milwaukee and Houston. You got the Clippers and Golden State Warriors. Then you got that Friday, the 25th. You got Dallas and New Orleans. Then you got Utah and the Lakers. I mean, this is going to be insane. This is going to be crazy. It should be some really good games just to watch. I mean, those games sound exciting. You know, Milwaukee's back another year. Giannis is back. He's hungry. Will he come out the East? You know, Philly, they reloaded without Horford. You know, they got everybody back. Will they take that next step? So it's going to be interesting to see how everybody goes and what happens. You know, so that's exciting. The NBA is definitely back. Everybody's always excited about the NBA being back. I know I am. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but, you know, I'm definitely excited. And, you know, while I'm on the topic of the NBA, I wanted to talk about Carmelo Anthony. I feel a little funny about this one. You know, Carmelo Anthony's situation has been going on for quite a while now. I know he spoke the first take a couple weeks ago with Stephen A. Smith. He had the meeting. And I was listening to a podcast Earl Watson was on. And Earl Watson, he had a really good response for everything that, you know, you would say surrounding Melo. When he was asked about Melo, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but Earl Watson said Melo's never been challenged. You know, all the coaches he's had, he's never really, really been challenged. You know, they never forced him to change his game. They never really forced him to get well-rounded as far as being a guy that can do a little bit of everything. Now, we know Melo can score. Melo has always been able to score the ball. 24 points a game for your career over 16 seasons, that says you can score the ball. But, you know, have you been able to do a little bit more? You know, he should be a little bit more effective at this stage in his career. I get it. He could be a little bit more well-rounded. He could be a better scoring Draymond Green. But when Earl Watson said that, you know, coaches don't want to challenge him, maybe the GM doesn't want to get him ruffled saying, hey, you know, you keep challenging me. And, you know, well, hey, if you want to challenge me, I'll force my way out. I'll go somewhere where they accept me for who I am. It kind of makes you go, makes you say, you know, it makes you go, I personally feel bad. I hate the way he's being treated. You look at him in all these videos and these pickup games. Yeah, they're pickup games, but they're pickup games with other pros. Still looks good. You know, he's trying whatever he can try. You know, for me, looking at him get the treatment that he's getting, it reminds me of when J.R. Ryder, when he was trying to get back in the NBA. I remember he was crying to John Thompson on the interview on TNT. But Melo's never been that kind of a guy. You know, I just don't know what the issue is. You know, it could have been some underlying issue that us regular fans didn't know, and it was something behind the scenes. I personally thought that last situation in Houston was bogus. I thought, you know, D'Antoni got him back for what happened in New York. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, I still have some reason to kind of believe that's kind of what happened, because I don't see how he didn't fit. Just kind of removed him from the offense. You look at this team, you look at that team last year. When Kevin Durant went down, they, for some reason, did not step their games up and finish the Warriors out. They just decided to be like, okay, we're gonna get down, let you guys do your thing and just win. Like, if you're a coach, you put your foot on their neck. That best player, the best player in the world, he's down. And what did they do? They just kind of sat there and rolled over. So, you know, that Houston experiment, you know, I thought he got a raw deal, but I thought he would have helped them in the playoffs because nobody else stepped up. You know, James Harden can average as much as he wants, but in the playoffs, if it isn't working, then what's the point? It was just bad how it went through. You know, what Earl Watson said made a lot of sense. And also looking back on it, you know, as much as I love Melo, I wish he would have avoided getting in front of the press conference, you know, the media at media day when he was at OKC, when they asked him about coming off the bench. And he was like, who, me? And he's like, no, I'm not coming off the bench. You know, I think with athletes, a lot of times they fail to humble themselves, right? Certain athletes don't want to do certain things because they feel like they're going to be 25 forever. Case in point, Allen Iverson. You know, here's a guy, and I love him to death. He's a cultural icon. He shifted the culture. Here's a guy that I think never really thought about. He never thought he was going to get old, it seems, right? Like, when your guy is 25, 26, you can get out there. You don't have to stretch as much. You don't have to do as much. Your body's going to react, right? And you're going to do everything you're supposed to do. Now, for what it was worth, he probably was a headache at some point in time in his career. And, you know, for me, it's like when he got old and to the point where he wasn't the Allen Iverson of old, teams just kind of really had no use for him. You know, and it sucks to see guys that are your heroes and guys that you love and you look up to, you know, in Iverson's case, you know, that you looked at since he was younger and, you know, they were just immortal. Like, you never thought they were going to get old. You never thought they were going to be, you know, they were going to be at a point where they weren't able to play. You know, if a guy like Iverson decided to be humble and come off the bench, I don't see why he couldn't have played till he was close to 40. You know, he wanted a ring. He deserved the ring. Everybody doesn't get the chance to win a ring. But Iverson, had he done things differently, could have probably come off the bench for those Heat teams with LeBron and those guys. And, you know, and kind of with just a, you know, spot up shooter, or just kind of get in there and help them out any way he could. You know, he had all heart. The guy, he was all heart, and he balled out. You know, and I say all that to say, you know, can Melo sit there and adjust? We all know you can get out there and probably give a team 15, 16 a game still, but, you know, is it going to be a smart 15 and 16? You know, do you just want to get in the NBA? Do you want to just get a ring? Or do you want to get there and show that you can, you know, show everybody you can still get buckets? Me personally, I wish things would have gone a little bit different for him. I wish he would have gone to Miami with LeBron and D-Wade and got his ring and then try to come back and maybe say, let's save the Knicks or whoever he's going to do. You know, I think the Knicks situation set him back. That whole thing with Phil Jackson just kind of has him in a rut. Now, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, no, how could you feel bad for a dude that's made all that money? That has nothing to do with the money. I'm just looking at it from a basketball standpoint. I think it's terrible. You know, and it's shitty that he isn't able to get the opportunity that he should get. He's better than 60, 70% of the league. Let's be honest with you. I mean, he's still balling. He still looks good. He doesn't look slow in those workouts. Getting an 82-game NBA season is a lot different on your body than a pickup game is. But I think he deserves a little bit more. And that's just my humble opinion. Hopefully somebody picks him up. I think his options are limited if he wants to win a ring. Milwaukee, L.A., either team, Philly, you know, Boston. That's just me thinking about what makes sense for him. We could come in and try to help a team. Because, I mean, what's the point of Melo going to play with, let's just say he's going to play, you know, what? He's going to go to Memphis right now? It's not making any sense, right? Why would you go to Memphis? It wouldn't make sense at all. Well, go back to New York? Not going to win a ring. He wouldn't do anything. So I'm hoping the Lakers can figure something out, because that's been a rumor for the last damn near year. They need to figure something out. I mean, Bronson's boy, I think it can work. I know it'll work. So let's see what happens with that. But we'll keep a close eye on that. As of now, you know, things just aren't really going the way it's supposed to go. You know, the FIBA World Cup, that's coming up soon. And, you know, he asked for a spot on that team and he was like, they're going in another direction. I get it, but it's like everybody's dropping out. It seems like nobody wants to play. So I believe he'll land on his feet. You know, personally, if it is the end, he got a raw deal. But, I mean, he's one of the baddest dudes to ever lace up a pair of sneakers, man. He was damn good. You know, really, really, really good. He's never really had a lot of help in his career, honestly speaking. I mean, even in Denver, you could do but so much. You know, he got pieces towards the end of his Denver tenure. You know, Chauncey Billups was a little bit older. You know, they had a chance with Kobe and those guys in 09. They just could never get over the hump, you know. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to be, like, one of the big what-ifs, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping it works out for him, you know. And while we're on NBA news, you know, I got a bit of bad NBA news. We're going to shift real quick to Sebastian Telfair, man. Sad story. Yesterday, he was sentenced to 3.5 years for possessing a legal firearm in New York City. He got pulled over in 2017. They found some firearms. It was a crappy thing. You know, I feel bad for him, actually. A lot of people, I saw some comments, people were being silly and they were, you know, being jerks. Like, you know, typical digital D-heads, as I like to call them. they were being silly. But many people going to clown him. And they're going to continue to do so. But I hate that this happened to him. A lot of people always say, oh, he's a millionaire, you know. But I get it. You know, things happen sometimes, you know. But he was someone I rooted for a lot. You know, just seeing him come up, being the first, you know, point guard in history of that size. You know, 5'11", 6 feet to make the jump to the pros. I was pulling for him. I mean, he made the jump. You know, the movie Through the Fire, I watched it. I read the book, The Jump by Ian O'Connor. I followed his career. You know, it just didn't turn out the way I thought he would. I thought he'd be an all-star maybe at least once, a couple of times. But I always like to tell people, you play in the NBA for 10 years, you can't really knock them. You know what I mean? If you're smart enough with your money, whatever it is you do, you got a successful life and you got a successful run. I mean, many people don't ever get to sniff a training camp with the NBA. And many people are quick to call somebody a bum, this, that, and the third. But look, dude played 10 years in the league and lived his dream out. But that's besides the point. You know, I'm hoping he pulls through. You know, he gets through this bid unscathed. You know, nobody wants to go to jail. I don't care how tough or how cool you think you are, man. Jail is no place for anyone. I don't care what you think, how nice you are with your hands, whatever, man. That's BS. Nobody deserves to be in jail. So yeah, that sucks. But before I get off the NBA, as of yesterday, Monday, August 12th, NBA title favorites are the LA Lakers, LA Clippers, Milwaukee Bucks, Houston Rockets, Philadelphia 76ers, and the Golden State Warriors, in that order. So got a lot to look forward to. I'm surprised the Warriors are still up there as one of the top teams, but I mean, I won't underestimate them. They reloaded with D'Angelo Russell, as we know. Klay's gonna be out for most of the year. I'm expecting Draymond to step up a little bit. Everybody else should step up a little bit more. I'm thinking something is in the works where they may get Iguodala back, or there's a chance they may get him back. But let's see. Let's see how that works out. That should be interesting, to say the least. So slide on over to America's other favorite sport. Let's talk a little football really quick. Don't really have much. Training camp's in full swing. We saw the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. You know, we had some legends get inducted. Almost great to see Ed Reed get inducted. You know, Ty Law finally got in. Well deserved. That was definitely well deserved. Champ Bailey, another shutdown corner. He was just, you know, some great guys that got in. But as training camp's in full swing, you know, we find ourselves just sitting there caught up with this whole Antonio Brown and his helmet situation. I personally, you know, I try to always side with the player and look at it, but I say, look, man. It's a helmet. I get it. The helmet makes you feel good. You know, he's kind of had a 5-year head start as far as, you know, about the situation. Like, they were going to discontinue the uses of that helmet. That helmet had to go. You know, he knew 5 years ago. I get it. Athletes are creatures of habit. And, you know, you want to do certain things a certain way. You know, Victor Cruz said something on SportsCenter today. He said, I wore the same pair of socks in high school, you know, for five, you know, every game. You know, I mean, of course you wash your socks, but those socks made him feel a certain way. Athletes are just like that. You know, I played ball in high school. You know, you do certain things. You know, I wore my socks a certain way just because I felt better doing it that way. You know, that's just what it is. You know, he lost a grievance yesterday. So apparently he's going to try. He's going to get with the program. And I just say this, man, for a guy that came from the mud, you didn't really have nothing. When you do make it to the NFL and you do get a chance to be a star receiver and you do get a chance to make all that money, I mean, don't ruin it because you don't want to wear a helmet. Now, granted, you know, it's better for you. You see better at your money making and so forth. These new helmets are better and geared towards your safety. I don't think anybody wants to be 50, 60 years old, not knowing, you know, living in a body where you can't do nothing with, you know. I would hate that for him. I would hate for that to happen. So, I mean, that's kind of crap if you're living in a body. It's just useless and, you know, your body's beat up because of football, you know. So, hopefully he gets it together, man, because the Raiders gave up a hell of a lot. Not, you know, it wasn't a ton, but he's just like a headache. I mean, it can be awesome. Him and Derek Carr can be amazing. They can make some, you know, John Gruden, you know, they could do some special things, man, but he needs to figure it out, man. I mean, first is the feet, you know, getting, you know, the crowd therapy, the feet, the blisters on his foot. Looks disgusting, by the way. Google Antonio Brown's feet. Looks crazy. Dennis, the helmet thing. He claims he's good now. I don't know. Antonio Brown is the epitome of a wide receiver diva. So we'll see how that works out. You know what I mean? But much love to him if that's the case. You know, I see Dak Prescott allegedly turned down a $30 million deal from the Cowboys. Allegedly, that's just talk. Apparently, we don't know what the guaranteed dollar amount was, what the total amount of the contract was, but I know it was 30 a year. He turned it down, supposedly. So he's reportedly asking for $40 million a year. Many people are going to probably say, no, he's not worth it. He's been pretty dependable. You know, 48 starts, been in for every game, 32-16 in the regular season for his career. Last year, he threw for 3,885 yards, 22 touchdowns, and completed 67% of his passes. So pretty good passer, pretty accurate passer. I think, you know, they're going to probably compromise with between $34 and $35 million. Carson Wentz has a pretty big deal. He's been hurt a lot. Hasn't really been as dependable as Dak, so I'm guessing Dak's gonna get some money. I know Carson Wentz had a Super Bowl ring, but Nick Foles was a guy who won that Super Bowl for him. It's called a spade, but it should be interesting to see how this whole thing works out because, you know, Dak's gotta get paid as well as Zeke. And speaking of Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott, he's still holding out, but you know, we'll see how that works out. But he's a guy that's been in trouble with the NFL, going to see the commissioner every so often. So it's just one of those things that's just annoying, you know. But I think the Cowboys, they'll definitely extend back and give him the money he's supposed to get. As far as Zeke goes, I guess it's going to have to be another show and prove, yeah, if he decides to end his holdout. So we'll see how that works out. And before I get off of football, man, condolences to the family of Steelers assistant coach Dal Drake. He passed away yesterday at the age of 62, man. I believe it was a heart attack. Around the game for years, you know, he's been coaching since 83 in the college level, worked with Mack Brown, his first staff at Texas, you know, coaching the Lovie Smith for quite some time in Chicago, and they won a team that won the NFC Championship, went to the Super Bowl before they lost to the Colts. So, you know, it's been it's kind of crazy. Hit a lot of players. You see a lot of players reaching out and talking about him and things like that. So, you know, it's condolences to his family. It's always a loss. A guy that seemed to be like a father figure to many. Hines Ward made that reference yesterday. He was his receivers coach at Georgia. So when a guy's respected, is always felt by the community. Sliding over to gymnastics, man. Simone Biles, I don't really, you know, I'm not a gymnastics guy, but she's just somebody that you have to recognize. She's amazing. You know, just became the first person in history to perform a double dismount on the beam. It sounds difficult. Go look it up. Go YouTube it. It is difficult. It's insane. She's just amazing. She's so accomplished, one of the best to ever do, and she's still got so much more to go. I remember Dominique Dawes. When I was younger, how awesome she was. I never thought I'd see another girl look like her that was as good. But, I mean, God, she's so good. I mean, she's really, really good. And she's got a lot more coming for her. Simone does. And the future's bright for her. And before I slide over from Simone Biles, I want to talk about the NCAA for a brief second. The NCAA, we all know them to be a pretty corrupt agency. I mean, at least I think they are. You know, they had a rule as a rich, you know, they had the whole Rich Paul thing last week. It was a thing, you know, agents had to have a bachelor's degree. A lot of people felt that was geared towards, you know, Rich Paul and his crew. You know, anybody who doesn't know about Rich Paul, he's LeBron's agent, LeBron's homeboy, actually. But he's a certified agent. I mean, he's got a lot of the bigger clients in the NBA. He's the new David Falk. Let's call a spade, you know. He's got a lot of the top guys in the league. And, of course, it helps when your boy's the best player in the world and you're his agent. But he's not just like figurehead. He's actually a damn good agent. I mean, he knows the business. And no, he doesn't have a college degree. He's the same guy that Darius Bazley, he was going to sign. He signed with Syracuse. And, you know, his family reached out. They talked to Rich, and Rich got him an internship at New Balance for about $1 million. He didn't have to go to school. So his internship, his last year, was working out, interning at New Balance, getting ready for the draft. He was drafted in the first round by the OKC Thunder. Rich got him drafted, obviously, and he worked out and did his part. And he has a shoe deal. I mean, that's something that the powers that be don't want. You know, Jim Boeheim was quoted as calling it kind of stupid. But, I mean, it is what it is. How you tell a kid no to say no to $1 million? You just don't do that. You know, athletes, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, with the NCAA's pulling, you know, some guys may not have. You don't need a college degree for certain things. Rich Paul, it's because he doesn't have a college degree, doesn't make him one of the better agents. He's certified by the NBA. you know, the NCAA had this thing, you know, like they issued a memo last week, if nobody knew, it was outlining new certificate requirements, certification requirements. You know, you needed a bachelor's degree, MBA certification for at least 3 consecutive years, professional liability insurance, and a completion of in-person exam taken early November at the NCAA office in November. I mean, it's ridiculous. I got the best clients in the world. I got millions of dollars of contracts. Damn near probably over $1 billion in contracts. And you mean to tell me I got to take an exam to represent an app? Like, it's just crazy how they did it. So today, you know, they kind of switched their speed. They kind of switched up a little bit. And they kind of recognized, I guess, where the errors were. And they realized, like, hey, we kind of had to catch themselves. And they realized they played themselves a little bit. But it was what it was. And they got things in order. So, you know, Rich Paul wrote a piece for The Athletic. I don't know if it coincides with that. But, I mean, they got a lot of backlash. A lot of people called it racist and things like that. And NCAA, I mean, just let it be. A lot of these guys that are agents, you know, they may not have the experience. They may not have the degree. But, I mean, they're working. And these kids don't really trust anybody except for people that look like them. So, you know, a lot of kids, it's a weird situation, man. I just think they need to just get out of the way sometimes. You know, they got their hands involved with everything else. Like, you can't control everything. So I just think it's one of those weird situations. It's really, really, really weird. So I don't know, man. But they fixed it. A lot of people are cool with the change and things like that. You know, business gets to going as usual. But, you know, sometimes when you make a fool out of yourself, you need to just, that's just a sign for you to stay out the way. So let me take a quick break. Be back with a little bit of baseball, and I'm gonna wrap the show up in a little bit. So stay tuned. Give me about another minute or so, and I'll be right back with you guys. Welcome back, everybody. So let's just pick up right where we left off, and let's just switch over to baseball. It's the last thing I want to talk about. Before I get out of here, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, what's going on right now. Baseball is coming to an end. Obviously, we're in August right now. August is usually like the home stretch, September, of course. And you got, you know, the playoffs will be here next month. And, of course, October, you know, that's when the Fall Classic and so forth. So and that's just when everything starts to kick off. But, you know, you're looking at things now, the American League, the Yankees are kind of going over there. They're doing their thing, running away with the division. They were up 2 games over the Astros for the best record in the American League. So it looked like, you know, obviously they'll be in the playoffs again. They'll be doing their thing, and they'll be getting after it, obviously. And you look at the National League, the Dodgers are on the tear, best record in the league. They're up 18.5 in their division. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy, man. They just look unbeatable. I mean, Bellinger is off. It's just crazy, man. I don't know if this is going to be their year, but as a New Yorker, you'd hope it's the Yankees' year because they look damn good. I mean, they look really, really good. So, I mean, the Yankees just kind of find a way to always get it done, especially when they don't have, quote unquote, a lot of star power. But they definitely look good. And, you know, you also got going over to the National League. I mean, you got the Mets. I mean, surprisingly, man, they look really good. They've, you know, they won 80. I forgot how many they won. I think, what, 11 in the last 13 or something like that? I forget what it was, but it's a damn good number. I mean, they're looking really good. They've been hot recently. They game out of the wild card, so they're over 500 to 61-57. So who knows what, you know, if they can get hot down the stretch and kind of steal that wild card, they're looking really, really good. And as I record this yesterday, I didn't get a chance to do it exactly on the day, but yesterday, which was August 12th, it was on the day, 1994, August 12th, 1994, was when we had the worst stoppage in baseball. Now, if anybody remembers baseball, it was one of the craziest times in the sport, you know. It's a year of what could have been. You know, nobody ever really knows what would have been. Who would have done what? It's always one of the biggest what ifs in sports history, right? You know, you look at it from a team standpoint, the Expos were like running away with it. They looked like they were going to just win the World Series. They looked like they were, you know, they were loaded. They looked amazing. And everybody just seemingly were on the Expos bandwagon. And of course, we all know how that went. They end up moving. Montreal doesn't have a team anymore and so forth. But really, really crazy what that season robbed us of. And let me list a few things of what we were robbed of. You know, we never saw a guy hit 400. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, a lot of us who like sports, or, you know, guys who are baseball lifers and love baseball, that's something that you love. You know, Tony Gwynn hit, you know, he had a chance at 400 that season. Knowing Tony Gwynn, the kind of hitter he was, he could have definitely put together a streak where he kind of got his average over 400. So we don't really know. He was at 394 during the time of the strike. You know, Roger Maris's record, you know, the 61, it would have been broken by somebody, one not named McGuire. You know, Matt Williams from the Giants, he was on pace to hit 61 and had 43 through 115 games and was on a tear. It seemed like every time he turned on SportsCenter, it was like, Matt Williams, Matt Williams, Matt Williams. And at the time, here I am, a 12-year-old kid, a 12-year-old kid just about to hit middle school, and you know, you sitting there looking at sports, just loving all kinds of sports, and like, this was exciting because I'd always known about the, you know, Maris's home run record. It was like crazy. But not only was he hot, you know, you had Ken Griffey right behind him who had 40. You know, Griffey was known for going on a hot streak. He could hit two or three in a game, so he could have easily surpassed him. Then you had Jeff Bagwell with 39, Frank Thomas had 38, then Barry Bonds had 37. This is, you know, this is pre-Bonds becoming what he became. So, became as a home run hitter because he was always a great player. But it was just crazy, like, how many guys were in the mix. And, Matt, you know, a guy like Matt Williams, you know, you look at that, you're like, damn, Matt Williams break the home run record, you know. So it's just crazy. And then, you know, you look at the pitchers, you had Greg Maddux had a 1.52 ERA through 202 innings. The lowest since Bob Gibson's mark in 68 when he had a 1.12. You know, you had two pitchers who were on the verge of history, winning 90% of their games, you know, their decisions with at least 25 starts. Greg Maddux was 19-2 and Randy Johnson was 18-2. Only two pitchers in baseball history with at least 25 starts to win 90% of their decisions. So that was crazy. You know, it was just crazy. So, you know, the strike ruined the game. It ruined a lot of fans. And I consider myself a casual fan. I know a lot of sports history, a lot of sports facts. I know a lot of things, you know, as far from a historical standpoint. But, you know, the game got ruined. But I will say, and people may cringe at me saying this, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think the steroid ever helped bring the game back. And everybody sits there and they ridicule it. And I get it. You know, guys who love the game and guys who are serious about the game, you're supposed to feel that way. I have, you know, like, I really understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, the guys, as you said, quote-unquote, cheated, brought the game back. You know, that's why I kind of get a little upset that the guys get, you know, guys get, they don't get voted in, you know, whether it be Clemens, Bonds, whoever else, you know, Sheffield, you thought that was using maybe. I mean, I'm probably in the minority with this, man, but I mean, if it wasn't for that crazy summer of 98, I mean, who knows where the game could have been, you know, who really knows where it would have been. I mean, the strike took a lot out of a lot of people, fans included. So we'll never really know. But never really know. It's just crazy. It's one of those things that makes you go, you know, just a crazy situation, man. Just a really, really crazy situation. But that's just what it is. And, you know, before I get out of here, you know, this is my 61st podcast episode, you know, and I'm just constantly grinding away at it. And I always like to say something like this. Like, I know I find daily inspiration every day. But I, you know, I want to say before I go, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Like always, I definitely appreciate your support, no matter how little, you know, it is, or, you know, whatever, you know, by you telling anybody or you liking stuff. I mean, support is support, you know, it comes in all shapes and sizes and forms. You know, I know I was slacking the last month, but if you, you know, as far as the podcasting goes, but if you follow me on Instagram, you know, I've been updating and keeping the content coming. But, you know, I'm doing a little bit more, you know, just like, again, trying to build. I had an interview lined up with an NBA player. It didn't fall through yet, but I won't mention it until it's done, you know, but I had things lined up and I'm still working, you know, so things just take some time. So thank you for bearing with me. And you know, I'm definitely trying to make these moves, but, you know, I want to send a few special shout outs, you know, to my guys, Ron and Kay at A-Game Podcast. You know, I appreciate them for the constant support and motivation. My man, Cal at All Things Hoops, you know, he's been showing love since I was 7 and he was 9. So we go way, way back. So we go back to when his mom was telling us we get $5 if we win a game. Our team was crappy as kids, but you know what I mean? That's my guy from way back when. You know, also want to shout out, you know, Corey Homicide Williams, who's a street ball legend, former pro overseas, and he's right now commentating on the NBL. He does a lot of other things too, but he's a guy that he offered a little bit of encouragement a few months back. Real solid dude. Just a few words here and there. You know, it kind of changed my perspective on certain things. So shout out to him for doing that. You know, it keeps me going. I know it was a small thing. He showed love, but he didn't have to. You know, just anybody that tells anybody anything. You know, my guy Mark Jerome, Jason Offer, just people. Period. You know, I appreciate everybody and all the love and support. You know, I had somebody that follows me tag my name on a Shade Room post. You know, talking about podcasts that they wanted to get more attention and more recognition, and you know, they didn't have to do that. You know, so, you know, I appreciate all that kind of love and support, you know, like it's a small grind, you know, and I know the people that, you know, and I know the people that, you know, do things from behind the scenes, like my man Finesse, you know, Nesta, you know, he's always like looking up, trying to, you know, connect me with the big people, you know what I mean? So, you know, just people always trying, you know, people that just even if you take a listen, you know, like I appreciate everything, you know, just reposting and put my name out there. Thank you for everything. And you know, I definitely want to give a special shout out to Ms. Brown for the constant support, you know, encouragement and the love. You know, she's awesome, keeps me on my toes. you know, gets on me when I'm not recording, like, yo, where your podcasting at, you know? No, that's my love bug. I appreciate you. Thank you for inspiring me. I love you. Love you and boss baby. You know, but everybody else, man, thank you again. Thanks for tuning in. You know, my 61st episode. I plan on bringing you guys a whole lot more, and I promise you I won't go away for a month again. So, again, man, thanks for tuning in. Your boy Jamon. I'll be back soon. College football starting in another couple weeks. You know, I think about 11 days we got. So I'll be, you know, just look forward to my content. Look forward to stuff I'm posting on Instagram, man. I appreciate you guys, and I'm up out of here, man. So until next time, be good, and I'll holla.